Goedemorgen en hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Vandaag weer een fantastische dienst vanuit de Crystal Cathedral. En ik hoop dat het u en jou moed en vertrouwen geeft om deze dag goed te beginnen. Een paar weken geleden was ik bij dominee Schuller en we spraken, want hij is altijd zeer geïnteresseerd in Nederland, uitgebreid over ons land, over het wel en wee. En toen schreef hij zomaar eens spontaan een brief die hij mij meegaf. En hij schrijft dit aan u, aan jou, aan al onze kijkers in Nederland. De meesten van u hebben met mij gemeen dat ik 100% van Nederlandse afkomst ben. En ik roep jullie op om weer dijkenbouwers te worden. Een ruwe zee met golven van verkeerde denkbeelden dreigen Nederland te overspoelen. Maar de positieve boodschap van geloof, hoop en liefde, de boodschap van Jezus Christus, roept ons op hem te volgen. Zo kunnen we nieuwe gronden ontginnen en hoop en vertrouwen zaaien, zodat een vruchtbaar geloof in Nederland weer vaste grond krijgt. Het was een brief uit zijn hart van een 80-jarige man die helemaal enthousiast is voor ons land. En wij zijn enthousiast over de uitzending van Hour of Power en vandaag gaat het over Psalm 23. Die psalm over die herder die zo'n diepe betekenis heeft. Veel muziek in de Crystal Cathedral. En als gasten bij Hour of Power Nederland, Ed en Annelies Voerman. Zij zijn mensen die een groot bedrijf hebben opgebouwd, maar dat op een bijzondere manier doen, door dienend leiderschap. Over naar Californië, naar de Crystal Cathedral.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 36th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
It is a beautiful day to be able to feel the presence and the reality of God. So would you please take a moment and shake hands with those who are standing next to you and say, God loves you and so do I. Well, this morning, my father is going to be interviewing Aurelio Barreto III. He is the founder of the C28 Christian Retail Stores, and he has an incredible story of the way God touched his life in a powerful way when he needed him the most and brought healing and hope into his life. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God who continues to touch hearts and minds with the reality of your goodness. Through your grace, we experience the fullness of life. And so we give you praise and honor and glory today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.
may be seated. Now this passage from Scripture this morning is from Psalm 27 and 28. The Lord is my light. Why? He drives the darkness of doubt and cynicism, suspicion and negative thinking out. And that really puts light in your brain instead of darkness in your personality. The Lord is my light and my salvation, which means he helps you to become the person he wants you to be. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. Oh God, how true. When life puts danger in front of you, he is your fortress because he strengthens your faith and you look beyond the crisis to tomorrow. You know the trouble is not going to last. Tough times never last, but tough people do. In the day of trouble, he will set me upon a rock. I will not become emotionally unstable. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path. Don't let me get into a downhill spin, please. Lead me on a level path. I believe. Oh, this is a great verse. Preached on it a lot. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living and in the land of the dying, where we live today. Wait! Oh! Wait! Oh! Wait for the Lord! Be strong! Let your heart take courage. Yes. Yes. Wait for the Lord. Oh, God, be our shepherd. Oh, you're going to hear a great sermon on that this morning. And carry us forever. 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 Look what this says. Salvation. He's the stronghold. He's the shelter. So be strong. And God be our shepherd. It's all in the Bible. I didn't make it up. May God bless the reading of his word and the thoughts that will come to it from it, from our pastor this morning. Amen.
Oh,
Thank you, Cathedral Choir, for a beautiful piece of music. We have such interesting guests, and they come from around the world, actually, but they always have something very important for us to hear. My guest this morning is a man that, as recently as I've discovered him, I've already come to admire what he's doing. He's trying to bring the faith to people who don't come to church. So you go where they are. And he's got a thing going in the shopping centers. He's very excited. Because what he sells, my granddaughters want to buy it all. So, Aurelio, and I pronounced that right, did I, sir?
Yes.
Barreto the Third?
Yes.
Is my guest. He's the founder and CEO of C28. And it's a chain of retail stores located in Main Street malls offering an alternative place for young people to go and shop and browse and hang out. And the kind of clothing they get there is fantastic. And he's the founder and CEO and made most of his money when he started Dogaloo Incorporated. Yeah, that's a dog shed made out of something, I don't know what, but I know we had them until there was a change in the dog family and we no longer needed it. Anyway, he's achieved financial success. Something was missing in his life, even after he sold his company for over $60 million. Well, he came all the way from Cuba. Is that correct?
Cuba, yeah.
And here he is with a great mission. May I shake your hand?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Well, what's that?
Well, a little gift from our store for you. So...
Do I look
enjoy
at
it? No, you can take it home. But we've got gifts for... We brought about 1,000 little gifts that will be given out at the end of the service outside. So
like this? That's,
yes. Not like yours, but yours is special.
Well, I'll look for it with enthusiasm. Anyway, I'll tell you, this is an amazing story. Mm-hmm. Born in Cuba. Mm-hmm. Pick it up from there.
Well, I was born in Cuba... Castro took over. We lost everything we had. We came to this country in the pursuit of the American dream, and I grew up not in the church and worked really hard and became an American citizen. Growing up, I had this hole, this emptiness inside of me that I was trying to fill. And in high school, I got involved with drugs, I got involved with girls, only to realize that none of that could fill the emptiness that I had. I remembered back why I came to this country for the American dream, and I thought, if I could just make $1 million, then I'll be happy. Started working, started a first business, got that to a few $1 million, and started my second business. That thing grew and grew and grew. 10 years later, I'm 37 years old, 600 employees. I sell the business, and only to find out that I couldn't buy happiness. I couldn't fill the emptiness with success. It wasn't fulfilling. And I began to wonder, I began to fear dying. I wasn't sure. I mean, on the outside, I was a moral man. I did all the right things, but inside... I didn't have a savior, and I knew deep down I was sinful, full of pride and jealousy and greed, always wanting something else that somebody else had, or always wanting one more. And then I was vacationing in New Zealand, got to the worst part of my life, and I told God, I remember one day praying, and I said, God, if this is all you have, if this is all you have, the success, then just take me out of here. And I was very close to suicide, and by God's grace, 3 months after that, this man sat me down, and he shared the grace and the truth and the love of Jesus with me, and...
Who is this man?
Randy Thompson.
And who was he? How did he get into your life?
He was the principal of the school where my kids were going. It was a Christian school, and sat me down, and... He asked me, real simple, do you know Jesus? And, you know, I puffed up my chest. I said, yes, he's the Son of God. And okay, good, what else? And I guessed at this, and I said, well, he must have been, was he born at Christmas and died at Easter? And he said, good, what else? But as the questions got closer and closer and closer, I realized I had no clue who Christ was. And that day, I needed a Savior, because I was realizing I couldn't work my way into heaven. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. And that day, this man shared the gospel that we're born sinners. The penalty of sin is hell. And the only salvation, the only solution is Jesus. And when he offered me Jesus, I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I repented of my sins. And for me, it was the first time. I was 38 years old, and it was the first time that I realized that somebody really loved me. That someone had died for my past sin, my present sin, and my future sin. Yes. And I had never heard that. I asked Jesus into my heart. I asked him into my heart as my Lord and Savior. And I knew that moment that I was born again. I knew that that moment my sins were washed clean.
That's phenomenal. Now, you wanted to share that faith, and I know you. My kids know you from the new chain of stores, which is your new business. Yes. And why is it called C28? Is that right?
Or it's C28. And C28 was special to me because what C28 is Colossians 2:8, and it means see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world rather than Christ. They're Christian stores in malls. And we're there to preach the gospel, the grace, the truth, and the love of Jesus. And we're in malls because most malls get 14, 16 million people a year, and they're people that would never step a foot in a place like this. They're people that they have no idea that God loves them so much that he sent his son to die for them, to take away their sin, to make them clean. And I have a heart for the Lord, and I have a heart for the lost, because I was lost for 38 years of my life, and the people don't know. People don't know that there's so much grace, there's so much love, there's so much fullness in Christ.
Yeah. A lot of people listening to you, and they're listening in the Chinese language, in the Russian language, in the Arabic language, in the English language. A lot of people listening to you really don't understand what you're saying. But if you could shorten it to one or two sentences, look into a camera and tell them what they should do now.
Right now, if you are listening and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, just go to Christ and say, forgive me, Lord. Come into me right now and wash me clean. If you have done this, you are a born-again creation. The old is gone and the new is here. If you have done this, if you are giving your faith to Jesus, you are a new creation, and there's angels, and there's a party in heaven for you right now, because you will never see death. Your soul has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Me.
What's your deal?
Now, I can't help it.
Oh no,
I can't fight it.
Can't fight it.
Don't wanna hide it.
Can't hide it.
Problem seems to be me.
It looks like.
But I remember what the good book said. To really live, you got to be dead. So I asked for help,
for God to sell,
and I got the victory.
Come on, everybody.
Oh.
We just.
the victory.
Come on, everybody.
Ooh,
we're dancing the glory.
Dancing the glory.
Rocking the party.
Rocking the party.
We got the victory.
Oh, thought I knew it all. Always teaching somebody else. Like the perfect one was me, myself, and I.
Myself and I.
When it fell apart, I was standing all by myself. And I found
the answer.
The answer why. What the good book says, really live, you got to be dead. So I asked for help,
for God's
self, and I got the victory.
Come on, everybody.
Come on, come on.
We're just getting started.
We're just getting started.
Rocking the party.
Rocking the party.
We got the victory.
We got the victory.
Come on, everybody.
Yeah.
We're dancing the glory.
We're dancing the glory.
Rocking the party.
Rocking the party.
We got the victory.
Listen, this life is a journey. The process of learning where God is the answer.
And love is the key.
Oh,
prize is waiting.
Waiting for
you and for me.
To cross the finish line.
Fantastisch, wat kunnen ze zingen? A cappella, Close Harmony, Take Six. Nou, als ik het over Close Harmony heb, dan heb ik het ook over mijn gasten van vanmorgen, Ed en Annelies Voerman. Close Harmony, niet alleen op de manier waarop jullie naast elkaar zitten, maar ook waarop jullie samen werken, samen bezig zijn. Ed, jij bent de oprichter van Voerman Internationale Transportbedrijven, maar jij bent de initiator van dienend leiderschap in Nederland, in bedrijven. Wat bedoel je daarmee? Wat wil je bereiken?
De kern is in feite van dat je het spanningsveld tussen dienen en leiden, dat je dat eerst ziet, maar dat geen leider een bedrijf of een organisatie kan leiden als hij niet weet wat dienen is. Dat is denk ik. Ja, en dat dienen, dat heeft in Nederland dan altijd een beetje. Dat is een moeilijkheidsgraad. Wij denken dan altijd, als je dient, dan ben je minder dan die ander. En in feite heeft dat niets met dienen te maken. In het Engels, in het Anglo-Saxisch, gaat het een beetje beter. Want daar heb je het over servant. En dat is veel makkelijker, veel algemener geaccepteerd. Maar het dienen, en eigenlijk zeg je dan, de 10 criteria van dienend leiderschap zijn, ja, dat zijn er 10. Maar een van de mooiste die mij aanspreekt, is dat je committed bent aan de groei van mensen. Daar ga je voor. En ja, dat is in feite het mooiste wat er is. Je kan geweldige winsten maken. Maar als je waarde, als je groei bij mensen kan ontdekken en dat kan faciliteren, stimuleren.
Waar gaat het bij jou om? Winst of waarde?
Ja, natuurlijk om waarde. Maar laten we ook heel duidelijk stellen dat je geen bedrijf kan leiden zonder winst. Ja, dus daar is niets zweverigs aan. Winsten zijn heel hard nodig voor een bedrijf. Met deze winsten kan je weer investeren. Ben je ook weer bezig met de basis te leggen voor je continuïteit. Maar uiteindelijk gaat het om waarde.
Mooi, hè?
Ja. Ja, ik moest lachen, als ik dat mag zeggen. Want ik dacht dat je zou vragen, is Ed erin geslaagd privé om een servant leader te zijn? Nou, dan mag ik applaudisseren.
Ja?
Ik ben gezegend met een man die een servant leader in hart en nier is.
Ja, maar jij zei dat ook. Ik denk ook niet dat het lukt als je niet in je onmiddellijke omgeving lukt om servant leader, om dienend leider te zijn, dat het dan ook niet in je bedrijf lukt. Als je het thuis niet waar kunt maken, dan kun je het op het bedrijf toch ook niet waar maken?
Nee, het is integraal.
Ja.
En het is ook niet dat je zegt, ik gebruik het. Nu is voor die gelegenheid of die situatie. Ja. Het is heel opvallend dat onze kinderen, die staan hier heel kritisch tegenover. En dat houdt ons ook heel alert. Ja. Dat wij niet ergens wegzweven, maar met beide voeten op de grond.
Er zijn trouwe kijkers van Hour of Power, meegeweest met de jubileumreis vorig jaar, Thomas Schuller ontmoet. Corporate Eagles, dat is een club van mensen die Hour of Power ondersteunt op een bijzondere manier. Wat spreekt jullie aan in de wekelijkse uitzendingen?
Ik ben altijd enthousiast om te gaan kijken. En in enthousiasme zit de begeestering, zeg maar. Ja. Maar ik ben al enthousiast als ik ga zitten en dat enthousiasme neemt alleen maar toe. Het is echt positief.
Wie is jouw voorbeeld van servant leadership, van dienend leiderschap?
Jezus. Ja, Jezus is de servant leader bij uitstek. Is een lichtend voorbeeld voor ons. En dat, zou ik iedereen aan willen bevelen.
Maar kun je dat altijd zeggen? Je hebt een paar keer kanker gehad. Je hebt dat ook overwonnen. Dat is voor de meeste mensen een slopende ziekte. Maar je zit er zo positief in.
Door die ziekte word ik heel erg gezet en geholpen om in hier en nu te leven. En ik denk dat Jezus dat ook als voorbeeld heeft gedaan. Wees nu aanwezig. Maak je geen zorgen over morgen. Maar wat je nu kunt, straal dat uit. Geef dat weg aan andere mensen.
Hoe ervaar jij dat? Want je moet ook mee lijden, mee leven, dat jouw vrouw zo positief met haar ziekte omgaat.
Ja, daar kan je alleen maar een geweldige bewondering voor hebben. En het is ook wel eens even heel moeilijk geweest. En dan is er ook niet een vraag van, wie ga je nu dienen? Is je bedrijf nu aan de beurt of je vrouw? Nee, dan is het gewoon heel duidelijk luisteren. En dan dien je je vrouw. En dan komt het bedrijf heel simpel op de tweede of de derde plaats. Dus ook in die situatie die je negatief zou kunnen noemen, heb ik het nooit als negatief ervaren. En Annelies zegt, leven in het moment, in het nu, maar ook in die hele zwarte periodes waren er altijd weer lichtpunten. En dat heeft ons geweldig gesterkt. Ja. En dat te zien en daar dankbaar voor te zijn, ja, dat is iets geweldigs.
Jullie geven beide vorm en inhoud aan dienend leiderschap in Nederland. Er zijn een heleboel leiders die willen liever gediend worden dan dienen. Want dat is heel moeilijk om te dienen. Wat is jullie droom uiteindelijk voor dit land?
Ik zet mij af tegen het ondernemerschap van de 2-3% wat op dit moment eigenlijk Nederland regeert. Dat zijn de multinationals, de beursgenoteerde bedrijven. Terwijl 98% in Nederland zijn niet multinationaal, niet aan de beurs genoteerd. En dat is echt ondernemersland. En daar zitten zulke fantastische mensen bij. Maar als die nou eens gezamenlijk in hun kracht gaan staan, als die ook eens iets verder pakken, dan kan je een aantal ambtenaren gewoon, die zijn overbodig, want ondernemer Nederland pakt dan zijn verantwoordelijkheid. Nou, dat zie ik ook als servant leadership. En dan kom je, wat ik dagelijks gebruik, dan zeg ik, wie of wat dien ik vandaag? met een bepaald besluit of beslissing herhaal ik die vraag. En ik zie dan een ongelooflijk positieve toekomst voor dit prachtige land.
Dat is heel positief. Heel positief om ook mee af te sluiten. Ik heb uiteraard een kleinigheidje voor je. Nee?
Wij hebben een kleinigheidje voor jou.
Oh.
En willen graag refereren aan een heel mooi gedicht van Nelson Mandela. Als een servant leader. En nou, ongetwijfeld ken je deze tekst. Maar het is zo mooi wat hij geschreven heeft. Uitgesproken heeft als inaugurele reden voor zijn presidentschap. En hij zegt dan: we zijn allemaal bedoeld om te stralen als kinderen. We zijn geboren om de glorie van God die in ons is te openbaren. Die is niet alleen maar in sommigen van ons. Die is in iedereen. En ik wilde jou namens ons graag dit boek met prachtige gebeden van over de hele wereld aanbieden. Jij geeft ons allemaal altijd een cadeautje zondags. En nu willen wij jou graag een cadeautje geven.
Ik ben door ontroerd. Ik vind het prachtig gedicht. Nelson Mandela vind ik buitengewoon een bron van inspiratie. Waar ik hem mogen ontmoeten. Wat een geweldige man. Heel hartelijk bedankt. Out of Power, dat doen we met z'n allen. Dat vind ik zo leuk. Het is teamwork. En dienend leiderschap. En fijn dat jullie hier waren. En fijn hoe jullie ook met ons meeleven. En wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. Ook daar nog inspirerende woorden vanuit Psalm 23. We hoorden net het prachtige gebed van Nelson Mandela. Dat we kinderen van God zijn. En daar gaat die psalm ook over. Maar eerst gaan we luisteren naar een Russisch trio. En zij spelen een bekende oude song. Be Thou My Vision.
Well, I'm continuing on a series of messages through the 23rd Psalm. And the 23rd Psalm starts off with the words that are probably the most beautiful words we can hear. And that is, the Lord is my shepherd. And I want you to repeat those words after me right now, because you need to hear those words. The Lord is my shepherd. Now I want you to make it personal. Here's how you'd make it personal. I'm going to say the Lord is Robert's shepherd, and you have to put your name in there. You ready? The Lord is Robert's shepherd. I hope you didn't say Robert unless your name is Robert. Some people do that, you know. But what we have to remember is that the Lord is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He is our shepherd. And as such, what does that mean? You know, David, who wrote these words, knew exactly what that meant. He spent countless hours shepherding his sheep. He was truly a shepherd of shepherds. And he spent countless nights in the wilderness. And he knew the perils, he knew the rewards, he knew the beauty of a starlit night in the dark where he would sit out there in the silence and could hear nothing but the bray of his sheep and the twinkle of the stars. He knew it all. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod is just nothing more than like a billy stick. And the staff is a tool to guard and keep the sheep close. Because by keeping them close, he's able to comfort his sheep. And so he has his staff to keep them close. And there's nothing that comforts more than to feel the warmth of a hug and to feel the closeness of another human being. And as we think about the Lord today, I want you to remember this prayer. The prayer is pretty simple. It's simply, hold me, Lord. Hold me, Lord. Hold me. The Lord is my shepherd. That means that I am God's child. That means I belong to the shepherd, the good shepherd. I belong to Jesus Christ. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can say the exact same thing. Something different happens when you have that kind of a relationship. My wife and I have had pets in our family since we were married. We've had every imaginable kind of animal in our house that you wouldn't even want to think about. I'm talking not only cats and dogs, but I'm talking bunnies and parrots and fish and turtles. You name the list, we've had them. I come home one day, and here's this tiny little white fluff ball. Not a real dog, but a Maltese. The kind of thing that Paris Hilton would carry in her bag, you know? And this is our dog? I don't think so. You expect me to walk this thing? It's just not my cup of tea. Don't get me wrong. It's a sweet animal. He's just as nice as can be. But now he's a year old, and he's a big Maltese. And the other day, he knows he's who he belongs to. But the dog always knows whose dog he is, okay? So the routine in the morning is we get up and then we stick him outside so he can do his thing. And then we leave the door open, and pretty soon he comes after running around the outside for a half hour or so. He comes in the house and his paws are usually wet from the dew. And we go about the day. Well, I'm sitting there at my desk working, and all of a sudden I smell something. What is that? Something really smells. This is bad. And I look, and there's Bentley hiding underneath my desk. Bentleys are Maltese. Well, he got into something outside, and it wasn't pretty, and it didn't smell very good.
And then he tried to get this stuff off him, so he rolled all around, so it was all over him. So here's this white dog with all this brown stuff all over him, and he smells really, really bad. Well, I did what any grown American husband would do. Donna, your dog! Get your dog. Get Bentley. He's got a problem. And since Bentley is Donna's dog, she said, "Oh, Bentley, oh, look at you, you poor thing." And she picks him up, and she takes him to the bathtub, and she gets him all washed up and cleaned up, and he comes running out of the bathtub looking like a drowned rat. He is the ugliest thing when he is wet. His hair is straight, and he just looks like a big rat. Not attractive. But then he got all fluffed up as he dried, and he jumped on my lap, and I petted him some more. What's the difference between Donna and I? She owns Bentley. Bentley belongs to her. She loves Bentley like I couldn't quite love him the same way. And when we think about the Lord being our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, that means when I get into a big mess and I'm really dirty and I'm really filthy and I'm really stink, and I've really messed up, there's one place I know I can turn. There's one place I know I'm going to get straightened out. There's one place I know I'm going to be loved and cleaned and cared for. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord is my shepherd. And as my shepherd, he reaches out and he embraces us and he brings us into his hold and he cleans us and he restores us and he makes us as new. He comforts us. And so we must constantly hold on to this hope. Hold on to it with all of your might and your strength. Never let go, and simply do what God has called us to do. In the Sri Shu Brava Children's Home in Calcutta, India, there is a sign that Mother Teresa put up there herself. And this is what it reads. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're a successful, you win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spent years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help but may attack you. If you do help them, help people anyway. Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you've got anyway. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, says the Lord. You can read it yourself. It's in Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. My 18-year-old son is a tough 18-year-old young man. How tough is he? Well, let me tell you, when he was 10 years old, he was ready to test for a second-degree black belt in Taekwondo. Do you know what he does for recreation and fun now? He does jiu-jitsu and Muay Thai wrestling. He loves to get out there and scrapple, and it's all for fun. It's all for fun. Well, the other morning, he woke up, and his ankles were killing him. He walks up, and it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. He goes, I can't sleep, and he's practically in tears because his ankles are so painful. I said, well, you know, let's put him on some ice. And I put him on ice, and he was still complaining about it. His mother comes up, sees his ankles like that, and what does she do? She starts massaging them and rubbing them. And she goes and she gets the eucalyptus oil, you know, the government tree oils, eucalyptus. She gets the eucalyptus oil, and she massages his feet with that, and he just starts feeling so much better. And I put ice on his ankles. Well, that wasn't good enough. There's something special about a mother's love, and it's recognized in the Bible. And it's that kind of comfort and touch and peace and goodness that God promises to each of us. As a mother comforts her child, so I comfort you. The Lord is my shepherd. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. As a mother loves us, child, so God loves me. And so today we pray the prayer. Hold me, Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who continues to reach out and touch your children. That you have called every single one of us. You've gone into the highways and the byways and you've reached out and you've taken the least of us. And you've wrapped your arms around us. And so, oh Lord, we hug you back today. Amen. Now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit fill your hearts and your minds with the knowledge of His love. And may you feel His touch and His arms around you today and always. Amen.
geweldige gedachte om deze uitzending mee af te sluiten van dominee Schuller. De Heer is mijn herder. En als je een herder hebt, dan weet je ook dat je niet alleen bent. Dat je mag volgen, hoe moeilijk de situatie ook is. We hoorden het van Annelies Voerman. Strijd tegen kanker. En toch weten dat je gedragen wordt door die goede herder. Ik wens iedereen van harte sterkte een hele fijne zondag toe. De preek is na te lezen op onze website. En over deze prekenserie is ook een boek verschenen. Zelfs al ga ik door een dal heet dat. En het is een geweldig boek aan te bevelen om te lezen. Graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power.